Shortly, Francesco. One thing to add. We are trying with Francesco to have, we start 2 years ago, he want to make a PhD on Sergio Liberovici. We tried many universities around Italy, but for the moment doesn't work because it's not very easy as a PhD in university musicological department about a composer that is died not so many years ago. The last things I want to say that Sergio Liberovici was teacher here when he died, and they take his place. So he was a teacher of Cuneo Conservatory, and in some way he was my father, if you want, because I take the place he lived when he died here. So I went on the direction of this experience. Francesco, if you want, you can go.
So, young man of my generation grew up, maybe Andrea and Andrea also, grew up with two particular TV shows, which were Melevisione by Rai 3 and L'Albero Azzurro, the Blue Tree, and this one can be translated as Melevision, Apple Vision, I don't know. And these two TV shows was characterized by three particular elements. There were a fantastic setting with orcs or other characters characterized as fantastic. And these shows wanted to pass down adult kind concepts like adult life concepts in a fantastic way. And they wanted to raise awareness on media and music, like introducing radio in this kind, Radio Gufo, Radio Howl, I don't know. And make sensibilization on children and their use of their perception on music, on word, on the media, and other aspects of adult life. Why I am talking about these two shows? Because they were produced in Turin in the 90s, and they were the last element of a long production story called TV dei ragazzi. And this particular kind of shows was produced in a wide range in Turin, and because in Turin there was an incredible sensibility on children, perception, education, in not a childish, a babish way. And this spirit, this extraordinary visionary spirit, was promoted also, not directly, but also by Sergio Liberovici. Sergio Liberovici was a composer, a researcher, and an ethnomusicologist, and was a man of culture in a lot of aspects. And his production is particularly characterized by the multimediality, the interdisciplinarity. This map shows a part of his catalog and some aspects and media which his catalog touched during the years. We have television, we have cinema, we have political songs, and other elements that influenced one of the most important aspects in Liberovici's career and life, the children education and the production of children operas. And now we are going to the point. But before that, I want to concentrate on some aspects of Liberovici production that influenced his children production and in children operas. And we can find them, first of all, in radio plays, for instance. And there are three radio plays by Sergio Liberovici, and one of them, Utistopos, was co-written with Andrea Camilleri, a great writer of the second part of 20th century. And This is one of the radio production, but the most important section of radio production by Leverovici is the music for radio. And the music for radio consists in a long list we can find in these two slides. And in this long list, we can find some elements of his radio production that contain one of the most particular important aspects of his compositional thinking, aspects that we'll find in a few minutes in his children opera. We can find in the slide three paper trumpets, for instance, little instruments handcrafted, the presence of musique concrète, the presence of electronic music, or in the fourth case, 99, a selection of 99 of voices, instruments, objects. So, and in the second part, and there is a similar situation. And what matters for us is that this first element of Leverovici poetic consists in the use of particular instruments or documentational material for his opera. So first element is, and we can find it in the radio production, but not only in that, is this particular element, the use of these particular instruments or documents. Second important element for Leverovici poetry, the ethnographic documentation. We could talk about it for an hour, but to be short, this is one of the most precious documentation by Leverovici, done in Valle d'Aosta in 1956, and this is one of the latest edition of this work, an extraordinary interesting work. So we have first element, use of particular instruments or particular ways to produce sound. Second element, the documentation, the aspect of going around with a recorder and record sounds or voices. And all these aspects added to multimediality are the base for the Opera dei Bambini, the children's opera, which was an incredible incredible season dedicated to operas for children and for the formation of children and for the sensibilization for children of many aspects of outdoor life or not. We are going to look at it nearer. These three elements can permit the born of the children's opera. The children's opera has six different aspects, practical aspects. We have the documentation of the expressive language of children. So the child is taken as a case study and is recorded, and there is a dialogue by the composer with the children, with the child, and this is the first aspect. The second aspect is to educate the children or find out the way in which the child percept and narrate the world. So there is the second aspect, which consists in the perception and fictional restitution of the world. The third one is the transversal and multidisciplinary meeting of arts, and we can see the others. It's not necessary to read it, but for instance, we have the sensibilization to music rudiments, or the formation. This is one of the most important things, the highly specialized educators formation. We have a crew of people which work at near Leverovici and with Leverovici, who was able to work in Opera dei Bambini. And then the engaging of media institution. I was talking about Rai Radio Televisione Italiana in the third slide, and Liberovici had an incredible meeting and working meeting with these realities and this reality. So this is the catalog of Opera dei Bambini from 1982 to 1988. There is a wide range of work of art, and it could be very complex to talk about every single of these operas. But we will concentrate on Fogli d'album e Grande Chiasso, which are really interesting in matter of the link and the contact of the children with the reality and the soundscapes and their this contact in their life. So Fogli d'album, Sheets of an Album, have some premises. Open a box, open a world. It's like a claim, but we will see why I wrote this. It means that we have an opera which born and dies with the use of the props prepared for the opera. We have a kind of sandbox moment in the play of the opera, and we will see the details in a few moments. The second point is the narration of the world by a close to the ground point of view. So this documentation, this way to narrate the reality, the sounds and the soundscape is driven by a little creature which slowly goes on the ground. The opera explores the sound production, and it concentrates on the casuality and randomness. I put that a question word because it is a boundary not so clear, but it's important for the kid to know if a little piece of wood is knocked. What is that? A sound or a noise? It is casual. It is. It is causal, or it's a random noise. In all the opera is driven by this concept, driven by the attention to the production of sounds, of noises, by the nature in particular, because the opera is concentrates on the nature and the sounds of the nature. So we have the multidisciplinary aspect, the instrument making by Walter Markowitz, and the construction game, the box. I wrote up on the first point, designed by Ugo Nespolo, a fundamental artist of Italian art. And so let's take a look to these boxes and to their role on the narrative roadmap. So we have the instruments and a stones box which contains a long list of little pieces which can and they can be combined in a wide range of uses. But what I want to underline is the presence of this physical. It's a kind of meccano box. We can open it and play with it in various ways. In particular, in the ways indicated in the plot of the opera. So this is a stones box, and here we have some of the uses that can be tried during the opera. We have the strings box, another elementary material, so stones and then strings. We have a tuning for the strings, so during the opera we can find out particular intonation in the using of these instruments. And here we have a transcription of the use during the opera. And Then we have the third instrument box, the wood box. So wood, strings, and stones, three materials, and a wide range of sounds produced. And we have orff instruments. Is the one orff instrument using is the only one orff instrument using in the opera. And here we have a transcription and some of the uses. One of these uses consists in the use of one of the elements of the construction game. We have in the left side, and these construction games are the figurative part of the opera. So we have instruments, and then the part who produces not sounds but visive scapes, and we have animals box and little animals who we can find during the all the opera, and then the war box, and we have little blocks or little leaves in again, it's like a sandbox. It's like playing a sandbox game and creating during the opera a particular scape or another. So the protagonist of the opera is the hunter of images and sounds, and this is the first line of his intervention in the opera. I'm a hunter of images and sounds. I jump out of the bed early in the morning, etc., etc. And the last line is interesting for us. Eyes serve as nets where images are imprisoned, and there is another line who concern the ears. So eyes and ears to capture the reality. There is a list of all the sounds we can find in the opera, but now I want to stop talking for a moment, and I want to show you a little excerpt of the opera.
Questa è la mia piccola opera per bambini piccolissimi.
Deliziosa.
Anche gli oggetti che vengono utilizzati sono di Ugo Nespolo.
Questa è la canzone del riccio dall'Histoire naturelle di Jules Renard.
Sì, l'opera si chiama Fogli d'album.
Sì. Nessuno però e non stringere troppo.
This is what a hedgehog song. Sorry, I don't know. There wasn't the video. Maybe there is a little problem with the output. I don't know, but
we have afternoon for today, tomorrow, in one of the room in the other venue, some fragment of several 20, I think, of this work, very vintage because they are VHS tape of the 80s. And okay, just to know, if you want, we will prepare a space over there.
Okay, so there were whistles, and there were a little hedgehog going by these blocks, and maybe I will show you later the video on my computer. So this was the first opera. It's a tauf opera, is a frontal kind of opera. We have not the direct participation of the children. And the next step, the game changer of this period of child opera, is the big noise, Il Grande Chiasso. The opera moves from an article written by Emanuele Monta, and who talks about this great noise which travels parallel to our life, wearing down the system and influencing our movements, reaches home, offices, schools, and hospitals. Besieged from the outside, we seek refuge in the home, but even here, noise pollution is lurking. So the noise and the sounds of the city are seen in a bad way for some, because we have a kind of monster which follow us during all the day, and the only way we can live with this monster is maybe comprehend him, communicate with him, represent him, and this is one of the aspects that are at the base of the born of this opera. An opera written in collaboration with children, so the children are directly involved in the writing of the opera. There is a wide documentation on their perception of every acoustic aspect of their everyday life, from the morning, from parents fighting, or the opening and closing of a door, or a noisy teacher, and all these aspects are filtered. Studied by Liberovici, and then we can find them on the opera. And there is also a figurative translation of the word. The images, the figurative part is fundamental in Liberovici operas. So it will be very long to talk about, for instance, on the figurative aspects of the opera, how the children draw their faces or the teacher's faces is a complex and very interesting study, but we have no time to talk about that. And there is talking about composing a modern classical language, modern, I talk about Bartok, there is an introduction of dissonance in this repertoire. So we have not, again, a babyish, a childish kind of songs or pieces of art, but we have deeply modern and contemporary composing language. And then we have prop handcrafting by Francesco Casolati, another artist, and who edited and cured all the figurative aspects of the opera. So the place was this elementary school for the first release of the opera, the elementary school Leone Fontana in Turin. The method was represented in this scheme. So we have children's musicality about Giuseppe talking a few minutes ago. So we have an open method who intends to work on this musicality and researching on this musicality. And so some, like an algorithm, we have some parts and of this method who concern the formation and training of teachers again, and then laboratories, and then documentation, and the last part, but not the most important maybe, is the putting on a season of musical events. But it's not the most important part. We have the most important part is to educate and to raise awareness in children on their perception of the world of the sounds. So again, step one, recording. So we have Sergio Liberovici here who's doing an interview with a young girl, and then we have a drawing part. This young girl drawing the moment in which he's going to bed. So what's the dialogue? What's your mom used to say when she goes to bed? And then we have a drawing and a little balloons in which the kid can draw and write some lines. These lines, after the interview, after this drawing part, are put in music. But this music is not written out of the blue, but it comes from a research of Liberovici on the intonation used by the kids, repeating what their mom says, for example. So if their mom uses the same note to say, I'm going to bed, then Liberovici uses the same note in the opera. This process can be recognized by the children during the listening of the opera. So the fourth and last step is setting up an opera. This is the the cast, the crew of the first release of the opera, and we have a choir and we have some soloist. The principal soloist is called B, and it's a little girl who wants to talk to us about her typical day and her typical routine. And this typical routine is this one. We have we have five parts, five places, and a lot of different sounds she can talk about. And one of them is, I think, one of the most interesting. Consists in Along the Road. This little girl in the opera runs along the road and talks us about the sounds she can find out, and in a certain way she is find these sounds aggressive. She finds the cars or the buses aggressive elements of the soundscape. I want to show you this part of the opera. It's 3 minutes long, and I want to underline the visible part, the progressive, I don't know how I say it in English, but I don't want to complicate my life. So the progressive aggressivity of the soundscape with this little girl. So I try to switch.
Well, Folies d'album was taken from Jules Renard's Histoire naturelle, the text of the previous opera. And what happened when you have finished, I stop. Okay.
No, keep going.
Questa è una mia piccola opera per bambini piccolissimi.
Deliziosa.
Anche gli oggetti che vengono utilizzati sono di Ugo Nespolo.
Questa è la canzone del riccio dalle Histoire naturelle di Jules Renard.
Sì. L'opera si chiama Fogli d'album.
Sì. Nessuno però e non stringere troppo.
Again, the blocks and the hedgehog, this little word made by Woodbutt, so interesting in his simplicity. And then, even if there is not the audio part, let's see the busy effect. We have two choir, B. She's B. She's walking on the street. And then we have the cars. Every single child of the school was engaged in the opera. If you cannot sing, you can move a bus or drive a car. She's telling us what she's hearing. So I hear the cars and she sing the sound of the cars. These steps on the ground are suggesting as the most critical and dramatic part of this section of the opera. And let's skip to this part. All these elements are on her, and it's a dramatic moment because the street is so so aggressive with his sound. It's the concept who the journalist in the article was talking about. So it's dramatic, but it's simple, and it's like kabuki theater, and the black figures who operate in the kabuki theater, who moves the parts of the kabuki, and it's so realistic. It's not important this is a car or this is a dog. The imagination is okay with that. So I want to end the presentation with a confession, and the confession is that was not a speech, but maybe a commercial, because it's possible to produce this opera in the contemporary context, maybe with modern instruments, because the last edition of this opera has a tape cassette, and it's quite old. But think about this opera, the deep work driven by this opera, done using, I don't know, QR codes or a database with a map, we see it a few minutes ago. So it's possible to applicate this concept in a contemporary way, and why not for a decennial or anniversary? Even for The Big Noise or Sheets of an Album is a possibly contemporary opera in all the ways. Thank you.
Thank you, Francesco. We are a big noise with that noise, silent noise. So, of course, if you have a question, we are trying. We work in the last 20 years to try, because they have a huge archive. When I remember when they move after Sergio died, there was 140 big box of tape, of book, of manuscript, and we are working to, we hope, Conservatory of Turin take this archive to make available to public, because it's very, very interesting. Access to this material. Questions?
Thank you for this wonderful presentation, and thank you for including this theme and presentation in this meeting, because we otherwise wouldn't be so at all maybe aware of the efforts, which are, I think, important today more than ever because of this immediate interactivity between the artist and the kids. And we are now working in this project, and we encounter a number of problems which occur because this link is broken. I would like just to inquire about the second point, down to the ground perspective, when you were explaining the features, the premises of the artist's work. I'm not sure I understood this, and I think it's important.
Yes, thanks for the question. Yes, is embedded in the plot and in the intentions of the artist and on the libretto, and this point of view consists practically in the look of this little hedgehog on some aspects of the nature, for example the position of the hedgehog, and this ground level position can influence his perception on a fall or the vision and the perception of a wood. So is one of the fundamental aspects of the opera, and was in the intentions of Liberovici since, I think, the beginning of the writing of the opera. Maybe because it's more similar to the children look at the world, because when we are not higher like a hedgehog, but like that, we see, we hear the world in a way that contains originality and preciousness, I think, because it's a dimension we lost at a moment, and it's a dimension who can very interesting to reappropriate. Giuseppe wrote a very beautiful intervent, a writing intervent in talking about this aspect and the importance for the adult person to watch this opera and reappropriate to this little aspects, and it's fundamental. And so again, a few number of boxes and a little hedgehog can drive us in our childhood, and it's moving.
I keep the contact with the maestro, the teacher, but of course I lost the contact with all the children, because they have children as well. But not in this opera, with the other opera, I discovered some children that now are musicians. So some of them in the primary school, we keep in touch. One is playing violoncello, the other is playing the piano. So some of them probably discovered that music should be the life. Can we try? Sorry.
And what is his legacy? I mean, has it influenced the contemporary opera making in Italy? I mean, do you see any traces in the production of today?
No, not really, because it's very misconosciuto. Unknown. I mean, he wrote at the very end of his life a big true opera for the Teatro Regio, an opera, and really with a little group of people, librettista Emilio Iona, me and Giulio Castagnoli, because he lived this big opera just with all the part of the voices, is something like a piano score. And me, Giulio Castagnoli, with Berio, Luciano Berio, that was our working on the orchestration. We orchestrated all this opera. It was a 3 years work. It's edited by Ricordi, but in 30 years we never had the chance to listen this opera on stage, because in Italy it's difficult having a new opera. And it's difficult having a new opera that is not supported by editor. So, and all this part of music for children, there are many, many pieces are edited by Ricordi, but sincerely, the Ricordi doesn't make a good job at the level of diffusion and distribution. The material is available. There was also the complicated history of these 100 boxes that were taken from one center. They digitalized a big part of the work, then the center kept money, so they closed, and the box for some years were in a building that we cannot enter. Then we work to have the box taken from another space, so the box now are not in a building where it is raining on, because sometimes you put an archive, they close the building, maybe there is rain that destroyed it. So it's digitalized, there are all the manuscript, all the score, and we hope we can open this archive to the public, because the Torino Bibliothèque Conservatory seems to be interested to keep. But we can access the material, both video, both audio, both manuscript and score. So if you are interested, you will be really happy, because I think there is many very interesting things. We prepared this short video in the afternoon. We can send you if you want, because there are so many things to do, not the time for everything. But personally, but not me alone, we will be very, very happy, because we are convinced that really that is one of the most important composers in Italy. And for sure, for this kind of approach, probably is the most important composer in Italy, but is not well recognized. So people, sometimes people say, oh, this is very interesting, but there is no way. For example, the Fogli d'Album, we have all the boxes, we need three people that read the score. We have the boxes in the school in Turin, so it's possible to repropose. Grande Chiesa is more complicated because need a work with the school. After Turin, they make in Bellinzona in Switzerland. There was a production video, also Swiss TV. I don't know if we have the video somewhere or we can contact Swiss TV. It was a few years after 83, it was 85, 86. And he worked for 1 year with the children in the school, because the idea is, okay, I take the material from the children, so interview. And this is the heritage of the ethnomusicologic experience, because when you read this song of the children, it's something that the children improvise when he with the microphone, Sergio with the microphone, I wake up in the morning, okay, create a song for the morning, I go, and then he transcripted with all the problem, you know, of transcription of ethnomusicology. But the heritage of musicology is there, and it's very interesting. But we can discuss maybe after. Okay, thank you, Francesco.